Patricia trained as a doctor in Sri Lanka, worked in academia, trained in postgraduate studies at the University of Hawaii in sexology, went back to Sri Lanka where she grew up on a tea plantation, moved to Australia with her family, worked as an academic at the University of Sydney until 2011, so that was more than 20 years. And during that time also worked in some internationally renowned sexology workshops at a postgraduate level. Since then, she's been encouraged to spend time talking to people like us about all of these issues and writing. And I'm incredibly thankful because if it was up to me, you'd just comment on how much I was blushing as I did the talks. And it's terrific that we've got you here with us, Patricia. I'm going to hand over. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to spend some time together learning about parenting. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you that we can call you Father, because you sent your one and only Son to live, die and rise so that we could be fulfilled as humans, have our sins forgiven and have your image restored on us. Our Father, thank you that from you come all the families in the world. Father, thank you that from you come image bearers in the world. Father, thank you that from you come all these little image bearers whose noises we can hear outside. Father, please prepare us this afternoon to be parents, grandparents and carers who introduce kids to Jesus so that they can be fulfilled and know how to navigate the world bearing your image. Father, please be with Patricia as she talks to us from your word and from her practical experience. Thank you for the way in which you've gifted her, and thank you for the way in which she's using those gifts in order to build up your mob all over the place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, and for any of you gentlemen who were there in the morning and actually came back for another dose, welcome back. And for you ladies who are coming back in the evening, see you then. Okay, so what I'm going to do actually is give you a fairly brief overview, because I just can't cover everything. And that's why we wrote the book called Talking Sex by the Book. There's a whole by-the-book series, which I will tell you at the end of the talk, tell you about those books. But we wrote this one to basically cover how do we do it? Because parents were saying, you've written the books for the teens and the young ones, but how do we do it? So that's why we wrote that one. So a lot of what I'm going to say today is from by-the-book. Thank you. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. So it's in the book, but however, I do add a lot of information that's very recent. I like to keep update my 76-year-old brain updated. And so a lot of the information that I will be presenting to you is fairly new information that I picked up on Twitter over the last couple of weeks. As you do, you know, don't we all get up in the morning and first check your Twitter feed? Okay, so first and foremost, so that's what we are going to be talking about today. And the first thing is to understand who are your kids. We talk about Gen Alpha and Gen Z. Gen Zs are your teenagers born between like 1995 to 2009. Your teenagers, the ones as you watch, the ones who change from your little possums or whatever you call them into aliens in their bedrooms, those ones. And then they're kind of like they've got a cyber chip, computer chip in their brain. Then you get the alpha generation. These are the ones that are critical now. And those ones out there, the ones born 2010 and after, the Gen Alphas are called the glass agers. They knew nothing else other than the computer age, social media age. I had a parent after a talk like this come and actually tell me that her two-year-old toddles up to the television and swipes right. Because that is their world. They know nothing else. And the most important things for parents is to be present in the children's lives, especially that little ones like that. You have to be present in their life. So, why? And I want to talk to you about your children live in a virtual immersion in a, and that's not a spelling mistake, a sexual culture. They are immersed in it. And it is virtual. And what makes them most vulnerable is the fact that their brain is exquisitely sensitive to any input, but particularly to input that is sexual and violence. And what does social media do? Those are the main inputs that social media gives them. And briefly, a little bit on the house, and very briefly, I'll be touching on three areas: sex, gender, and pornography. But may not get through all of it, but we shall try. Firstly, you need to understand the current state of our youth. It is not good. Now, unfortunately, you can't quite see the yellow. But this is the mental health of young Australians 2022. And I want you to particularly look at that yellow, which is the Gen Z females. And this is the rates of self-harm, psychological distress, hospitalization, self-induced poisoning is exponentially rising, especially for teen girls. Boys also, the blue line, males, but particularly for girls. We are raising an anxious generation. A generation who are like so anxious about everything, and we have to ask ourselves why. Now, there is a researcher, well, two of them really, but one of them, his name, if you're writing down anything, is Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T. So if you go and look at any of his work, he has done a lot of work on just the generation, especially that Generation Z. And he talks about, in his research, two things. One, and prevailing, is social media. You see, the Generation Z, and especially Generation Alpha, are the ones who came in to the iPhone. Around 2010, 2011, was when, apparently, they had the front-facing cameras so that kids could start taking pictures of themselves. Immediately, there was this Facebook, and Instagram was introduced in 2010. So there was this Instagram, Facebook, the like buttons, which immediately immersed especially girls. And if you look at that, the anxiety shoots up soon. It's not just COVID. COVID made it worse. But it started before COVID. So we can't blame COVID. So social media. But there's something more he really draws on. And that is that we have, around that time or a little before, we became more aware of danger to children. I mean, the danger of not now. I don't know, maybe in the country you're a little more sort of casual about it. But in the city, the danger of even letting your child walk to the store alone, walk to school alone, that kind of helicopter parenting. And he talks of raising a generation of anxious, overprotected kids. And so this is an additive effect. So these are your children. But then when you look at social media, there is a distinct increase of anxiety and depression, particularly for girls, on how increasing use of social media. And just look at that. It's just the average number of hours per day that kids watch, average over a week. And you can see, especially for girls, the anxiety levels go up. Now, I showed the same apps to those of you who had kids yesterday here, and I was so happy. Some of them couldn't recognize them, the apps. I'd show them to Sydneysiders and they'd go, know them all. So, I mean, congratulations if you had a teenager here yesterday. You are setting the boundaries. And I was surprised. I was saying, how many of you have an iPhone or a smartphone? And only a few put their hand up. In Sydney, everybody would. All kids at that age would. So, I mean, congratulations. You are setting the boundaries. Currently, Jonathan Haidt, in his writing, he says, if you want to be really based on research, We shouldn't be giving kids that iPhone, smartphone till 16. Minimum 13, but their brains are not yet developed at 13, not even at 16, but at least at 16. And this is now something that they taught, and I'm assuming you know all about those apps, right? You've heard about all of them, of course. But the reality is that you need to be a parent. If you give, you know how you protect your child from stranger danger and, you know, look after your body. You give them a smartphone, you might as well be giving them a key to a dungeon. Such is the danger of giving kids that key to the social media. And here's just a few of the things that can happen. They get sucked into a comparator culture, especially girls, because the body image that is shown to them on TikTok and Instagram and all their friends on Facebook, on what they, and Facebook is so yesterday for young people, but there's still some. But Instagram's a big thing. So the Instagram and YouTube influencers, and if you don't know what an influencer is, please go and ask on social media, go and ask your kids. Even your five-year-old will know. And, you know, there was research that was done, and they asked, I think, between 16 and 20-something, if you really, really had your desires, what would you like to be? And over 50%, I think something like 70% said, I want to be an influencer on social media because I can make money by being an influencer. Who are the influencers in your children's lives? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the real influencer in our children's lives should be the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, it should be you. It should be other people you trust, not some social media influencer who is doing it to make money and peddling the body image. There are anorexia sites on Instagram that kids follow, and TikTok videos that glorify double mastectomies, TikTok videos that glorify anorexia, that compare how much of weight you've lost over the week or so many days. Do you know what your children are watching? Do you know the apps on your kids' phone? You know, you should be what we call a social media mentor. If your kids have an app on the phone, if they want an app, you should be able to talk to them, research why they want it, what the app is, what are the pros, the cons, the dangers. Why? Because many of them lead straight into what we call the dark underbelly, the dark web of pornography and predators and transgender chat rooms. Kids get into, even if they're playing video games, often with avatars. Who's that avatar behind the avatar in the chat rooms? Do you know? We need to know who kids are talking to. It's really like letting them into a dungeon. You need to talk to them. You need to be the mentor. You can take that one down position and ask them, explain it. Now I have Internet Safety 101. There's another site that should have put it there. It's called Common Sense Media. Common Sense Media, Internet Safety, esafety.gov.au. That's our Australian site. All of them have links to, you know, what's the dangers in various apps. By the way, before I continue, if there's anyone who really wants a copy of these slides, I'm more than happy to send you a PDF, or you can ask Bernard, but I'm happy to send it to you. So my email comes in at the end. If you don't want to bother to take notes, just email me. I'll send you the copy of these. Okay. So we need to know, because our kids are so easily exposed to everything on social media. Then, of course, the other thing our kids will be exposed to is the transgender. They will be. There is no, if you send your kids to school, even a Christian school, they are going to be exposed to it. U.S. statistics, but I have a friend of mine who works in Australian statistics, Professor Diana Kenny, and the stats in Australia are not much different. Of course, when you compare by state, Victoria is so much higher in referrals. This is just referrals to gender clinic, one clinic in UK, in London. And just want you to note again that sort of bluey, oops, sorry, I can't quite read what's on the corner, but I'll read it to you. And you can you see the greeny blue? And that is girls 12 to 17. Oh, thank you. Girls 12 to 17. And can you see how much that section that has gone up? And if you look at it, these ones, the grays, are kids who didn't want to say whether they are a girl or a boy. The unknowns. They didn't want to on the questionnaire say. But you can see how almost exponential the increase in referrals for distress with their gender. This is not just kids who like for fun say, oh, I'm non-binary. If you don't know what non-binary is, ask your children or come tomorrow for the talk. Non-binary is basically kids who say, or anyone who says, I'm neither male nor female, I'm something. I'm non-binary. And of course, there's a whole lot of other terms. But this is again US statistics. 1 in 5 Gen Zs would say that they're LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Of course, there's a whole list of alphabets you can add to that. 1 in 5. And it's not much different in Australian schools. I've talked to in schools and where kids have come and said, of course, you know, hyperbole, exaggeration. Almost everyone in class is transgender. Or almost everyone in class has a gender label. Why? Because it's cool. It's cool to be queer now. And bisexual, that is, I'm interested in boys and girls, is the commonest one in, this is US, but not much different here. So, I will talk a lot more about this tomorrow, so please come along. The why is the theory is put out that it's social acceptance. Oh, you know, now it is accepted to say that you are not male or female, and that you are transgender. Transgender just means my feelings of who I am isn't in keeping with my biology. Biology is real, feelings are feelings, and that's transgender. So, you know, we would say that it's a lot more acceptable. But then, why the peak of teenagers? Why aren't all the old ladies coming out and saying, oh, I am transgender? Why the peak of teenagers? So, there have always been a few. I come tomorrow to talk about that. But why this sudden peak of children and teenagers? The other theory, of course, is that it's cool to be queer. You know, there was a time when if you wanted to rebel against your parents, you wanted a tattoo. Or maybe you became a goth. Or, you know, you had some of you smiling. Maybe you went through the goth phase. And that was your rebellion. Or maybe you said, I've got a boyfriend and, you know, I'm going to climb out of the window and go have a drink with my boyfriend. I mean, if you say that to your parents now, they'll say, why do you bother? Just invite your boyfriend and spend the night at home together. You know, I'll buy you what do you want, a beer or what would you like to drink? So you're not rebelling. You couldn't find a rebellion. And transgender is the now new rebellion. And many of our kids are caught up in that. But there is also a big social media influence. That's what they call social contagion. That's the teaser for tomorrow. Now, next what I wanted to talk a little bit about is, what is this sexular culture? There was a time that community mattered. And I think country towns, you still are holding on to that. Community mattered. Meaning of who you are, who am I, was partly, largely influenced by your community. your family, your church, your God. Not anymore. We have moved to a desire-driven individualism. Your children, however lovingly you teach them at home, when they're in school, they're hearing you can choose what you are and your desires are what matters. And you have a right, and I'm not just talking sexuality, you have a right to have your desires met. Sometimes you listen to even graduation talks and they're saying, and the talks would go something like, you are unique. You can be whatever you desire. You know, it sounds such a kind and lovely message, but it is not true. We can't always be everything that we desire. That is not who you are. So we have moved into a culture where you need to look inward. Find out who you are, your authentic self, and then you must have those desires met. Otherwise, you are not content. And if other people don't approve of it, they are the bigoted evil ones. It's not just transgender, it's anywhere in life. We are raising this generation. When have you seen it? But in college campuses, you know, young people just, somebody comes to speak on some topic and they don't like it. They'll all go protest and stop the talk. And it's like, what is happening on our campuses, our children? It's happening even in Sydney, in Australia, Mel, of course, in Victoria, in Monash. I mean, you know, everything happens, starts there. So we have this aggressive selfishness of saying, I must be satisfied. And of course, when it comes to sex, sex then becomes a commodity for personal pleasure. And as Christians, we know the world, the flesh and the devil will be seeking to tempt our children and us. Sex also becomes who I am. I am my sexuality. The body, by the way, is just incidental. You can just shape it to whatever you want. We live in a world of sexual liquidity, where your body can just be like a malleable bit of plastic that you can do whatever you want to. And your children are learning this message from the time they are in preschool, not even primary school. Preschools in Sydney are flying the rainbow flag. Preschools in Sydney are asking children to state their pronouns. Are you a he or a she or a... Like, I still don't know for sure what a pronoun is. I mean, English is my third language, but the point is that you expect preschoolers and primary schoolers are being told you don't have to be what's between your legs. That's what mommy and daddy decided you were. You can decide for yourself what you are. This is the message your kids are getting. And why is it so important? And I told the kids yesterday this, your brain, the developing brain, from childhood to mid-20s, around mid-20s, the brain is in a stage of incredible development and change. It's like a computer upgrade. Connections are changing. And this happens, we call it a process of pruning. You'll understand how important pruning is. Pruning, where the right branches have to be kept. Now, this is dependent on what feeds into the brain. Your brain works during that time on a use it or lose it principle. We call it neuroplasticity. The brain is plastic. It's molded by what goes into the brain. Now, again, social media. What are your kids feeding them? What television shows are they watching? What comic books are they reading? What music are they listening to? Do you know? Have you listened to the lyrics of the music the kids are listening to? Some of it is very sexual. Can be very catchy, but very, very sexual. Now, so neuroplasticity depends what's going in. But there is also the fact that the brain doesn't all develop at the same rate. The first part of the brain to like erupt like a volcano is what we call the emotional, the feeling brain. This is when puberty kicks in, and keep in mind puberty ages are now lowering. When puberty kicks in, sex hormone driven, your little baby turns into this alien. And that's the time when they don't want to hold your hand crossing the road because they're thinking of other people whose hand they'd rather be holding. This is the time when they don't want you in their room. The little baby who was so happy for you to come and sit with him in the room suddenly says, get out of my space. And, you know, it's that growing up stage. They want their identity. They no longer want to be a possum. They want to take risks, and risks are good. It's part of growing up. We need to allow that and with clear boundaries, but allow it. And of course, you don't really matter. There was a time when they did something and you said, oh, that's so wonderful. And they go, glow, glow, glow. Now, when they enter their teens and you say, oh, that's so wonderful, and they go, what did I do right here? I must do something else because I don't really want them to approve. I want my friends to approve. So I need to put it out there on Instagram and get all those likes. That's what I want. Now, that's part of growing up. But the problem is the control brain up here in the front here, the executive brain doesn't mature till the mid-20s. And the connections take even longer to mature between control and emotions. So when faced with a decision, your children, your Gen Zs and your Gen Alphas act on feelings. And later on, if you say, why did you do it? They say, I don't know. You know what? They didn't know. They're not just being annoying. When they say, don't know, they really don't know why they did it. Because it was just emotional. I tell the kids, your brains are like red Ferraris on steroids. With the accelerator to the floor, no brake pedal, very little brake pedal, and no GPS. And you guys are the GPS for your kids. You know, you have to be available and authentic. Because kids today can sense when you're doing the do as I tell you and not as I do. You need to be authentic and available. You know, I often say that love is now for children should be spelled T-I-M-E. Because parents are time poor. And you need to be there with the kids. So, these are your kids, these are the pressures, that's the sexual culture, and this is why they are so vulnerable and you need to care for them. Now, all our books talk about all those three issues. Now, a little bit on the hows and the whens. When? How early should I start talking? When your kid starts talking, you need to start making them aware about what's happening about their body. You know, you're teaching them, this is your nose and these are your fingers. This is your penis and this is your scrotum. And that's just the way it is. You know who's embarrassed? You are. Kids are fine. It's just another part of their body. You need to give them a language. You know why it's particular? By the time they get to primary age, the average age of first porn exposure is 10 years and dropping. In Australia, somebody's going to show your children porn. If you don't tell them, they haven't got the language to come and tell you what they see. You have to share it with them. Even more frightening is the fact of some touch or some inappropriate behavior towards them. Now, I just tell you this story, which is really awful story, but it was told me after a talk like this, where parents didn't teach their children. You know, they use little fancy names for the genitals. You know, like they don't talk of a penis and a scrotum, but you got a dick or a willy or a Kevin or something. Why? I mean, whoever carries a dick or a willy around, you carry your penis and your scrotum around. And for a little girl, I mean, you've got a vagina and a vulva. Don't worry about the clitoris. Many adults haven't found it. But teach your children the correct words for their genitals. I had the story where, you know, a little girl used to come and say that her babysitter and she used to eat, her babysitter used to eat bikkies. Then after a while, they realized that they had told the child that her genitals were bikkies. So that was oral sex. That was abuse. But they didn't know because they had used fancy names. Just teach them the right names. Then they have the language to tell you. And it's okay. I have again another talk. And these are not the jokes from the morning, so they're new ones. You know, it's not a joke, it's a real story. I had a mother come and tell me that she told her little boy the right words. And I think it must have been preschool, maybe. Anyway, the teacher calls and says, your son, in the middle of the playground, shouted out, I have got a penis. And so the teacher, wise mother, says, well, what do the other boys have? Then, of course, she talked to him and said, well, maybe not in the middle of the playground or when Nana comes to visit. But, you know, it is good that you know that you have a penis. So, you know, it is okay when they are young. And then progressively, you've got to keep feeding them information and look for gospel opportunities and be proactive. You be the first source of information. But be ready to be reactive. See, they come to you with a question. Here's the repeat of the morning joke, which I don't know why we talked about parenting in the morning. But anyway, it's about Poppy and his shed. Is that the one you shared, Poppy and his shed? So, you know, what happens is this older grandfather, and these are real stories. I love collecting them. You know, for our grandfather who was at the talk, and he tells me that his little grandson, Johnny, comes in to the shed and says, Poppy, what's couple sex? So grandpa says, I've been for Dr. Pat's talk, so I better do the talk. So he does the full talk of, you know, penis and vagina and sex. Then he asks Johnny, why do you ask? And Johnny goes, nah, Nana said lunch will be ready in couple sex. So maybe if you are asked a question, it's a good idea to say, what do you mean by that, darling? What do you understand? Where did you hear it? You could have seen pornography or something. So where did you see it? And then explain in an appropriate manner. And yes, one big talk is good, but drip feed your dialogue. And it's really important to role model, you know, but to show it is okay if your kids see you being intimate. If they see you kissing, it's good. They know that mommy and daddy are intimate. I mean, look, even if they rush into the bedroom when you're having sex, it is okay. They're not going to be traumatized for life. It may even be a time for a good teaching moment, not at that moment, but later it could be a good impetus for a teaching moment. And then you tell them that mom and dad like to have some good time together and then put a lock on the door. But the reality is that, you know, in Proverbs, in Proverbs 23, I think it says, my son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. So you got to be authentic. You got to role model to them. Okay. Little bit about the science of sex and our culture. When we sexologists talk about sex, we talk about desire, falling in love, and intimacy. Desire is a hormone driven in the brain. It's a I want sex feeling. Varies across ages. In your teenagers, some of them are really sexual. Others are like, why are we sitting at this talk? And I love it because sometimes some kids would come and say, you know, Eli, and then some would come and say, why are we even having this talk? And they're like year 10 or something. And it's like, okay, your parents must be really happy that you're not interested. But the reality is that kids vary, just like you vary. Some of you listening to this talk, and let's finish this and get home. You know, so that before the women's talk, we've got a little time together. And for others, it's like if I trip over it in the car park, I might notice it. And that's okay. We are different in even our sexuality and the levels of desire we feel. Love, oh, love. I mean, he has parents, you know what that is. You know, that you have taken over my life. I want you in my arms, in my bed soon as possible. Different chemicals, dopamine, a whole cocktail gets sprayed over your brain, takes over your reward systems. And dopamine, the main chemical, basically makes you dopey. Falling in love is the dopiest thing you ever did. Yeah. But then look where it brought you. Wow, how exciting. But it is a dopey time. And so when your child says, I'm so in love, please don't say just get over it, because you didn't. And you don't just get over it. But it is a feeling. Like desire is a feeling. Falling in love is a strong emotion. Emotions and feelings can be controlled. That's what you should be teaching them. Self-control, not just in sex, but in everything in life. Sexual intimacy is a binding act. You bind when you have sex. Now, we describe that in all our books. Different chemicals, oxytocin, vasopressin, like super glue. There's nothing casual about sex. Hookup culture doesn't work. There is a secular writer, her name is, I think, Louise Perry. She writes how the sexual revolution has failed. And her last chapter is Listen to Your Mother. And it's a good book, because what she says, this is secular. And I'm like, when I read those and go, we've been saying that for 2,000 years. But that's the reality. But your kids are growing up in a culture that says individualism. If you feel you want something, you have a right to get it. If you, romantic love must be consummated. Intimacy, it's just a commodity. Just have sex if you feel like it. This is the messages they are getting. And, but make sure that you have consent. What is consent? Consent is the lowest denominator. Consent says, what can I get away with? How can I get you to agree to my self-gratification? You see, consent, secular consent says to someone, how can I get you to agree to satisfy my desires? The Word of God teaches our children, how can I honor you and build you up to be my spouse or someone else's spouse? That's a serious difference from culture. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is what makes our children countercultural. They will stand out and people will look at them like aliens at the beginning. How come you're not having sex? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? But they will admire them. And that will draw people to Christ. We are today called to raise up countercultural kids. I'm aware of the time, so I'm going through the next few slides fairly fast, because you have had the talks on the biblical basis. From creation to the new creation, the whole Bible speaks of the goodness of sex. Adam, naked in the garden, goes to sleep. God does the rib job, brings Eve, he gets up, looks at her, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, most beautiful girl I've seen, never seen another one, so no comparator there. But from that moment, desire, love, naked and no shame. I talk to young people and say, nakedness is total vulnerability. If you're having sex with someone, even if it isn't intercourse, it is a naked act. And you need to be aware that when you are naked with someone, you need to be with someone whom you are in a trusting relationship, a no-shame relationship. And the only one that where you can be sure is when someone has made promises to care for you till death part you. And that, by the way, is called marriage. And we need to talk to our children, demonstrate, tell them how powerful it is, Song of Songs. Like a fire. You know, it's like a fire. It's strong. God created strong urges. If desire and falling in love wasn't powerful, why would we even bother to have children? Like, who wants to stick bits of body into each other and, you know, get all wet and sweaty? It's because God created desire and love as good things. But it is powerful. And a fire in the heart is good. A fire in the tinder dry bush, you know, living in the country, how dangerous it is. That is what porn, that is what extramarital hookup culture does. Spoils their brains. So talk to them about that. Not to be treated lightly. Talk to them, and I'm not spending time here, but just, and again, I'm happy to send you the slides. True love seeks the good of others. We don't need sexual intimacy. We can be single and have a really good life. No human being can complete you. No human being can be that perfect match. No one can fill your life. Only Christ can. And we need to be fearless in talking this to our children. We need to teach them that there is an order here. There is a commitment, like engagement, promise of marriage, covenantal promises, and then the coitus. So teach them the three C's in the right order. Very briefly, and I apologize because we are running really short of time, I will send you these. Pornography is extremely common, as I told you. It's like 10 years and dropping. Why? Why do your kids get hooked on porn? There's natural curiosity. And all our books cover it, except the ones for the preschoolers. All our other books, which I'll tell you about in a moment, cover it. There's a natural body response, even the littlest ones, when they see somebody nude and prancing around, they have what we call in the book wiggly and giggly. And all we need to do is pick on that, because if they continue watching, remember neuroplasticity wires their brain. But they know also that that's not a good thing. So there is, as they get older, there is shame. And what happens when there's shame? It's hiding. What did Adam do? God says, where are you? He said, I was ashamed and I hid. And all his children do the same thing. We are ashamed and we hide. And so it turns into addiction. This is a slide I wanted to spend a minute on. And that is that you can teach them when they're really, really young. And in our Birds and Bees by the book, we have one that says understanding pornography. Very simple. You don't have to explain, you know, sexually explicit pictures which are created to titillate. No, no, no. All you say is if somebody shows you or you accidentally see on your computer or your iPad pictures of people doing something, you know, that makes you feel sort of ew or whatever. And it can happen. I had a grade 5 kid who said he wanted pictures for a project. So he Googled pretty pussycats. Ended up in a porn site, and it terrified him. But he was frightened to tell because he thought he had done something wrong. So the important thing is, if you know your child's watching porn, it's like you haven't done anything wrong. It's the porn that is bad. You are not bad. So say, teach your child to say no, go away, because you know the curious mind. If you keep watching it, you want to watch more. Happens to adults too. Say no, go away, and always talk to a teacher or a parent. Debrief. Very important to debrief. So, that's all you do. You put technology to work. You can have filters, accountability, and it's not a one-off. You must keep following it up. Now, I'm going to actually skip the next slide on transgender, because you're all coming back tomorrow. Or else, Bernard's taping, I think, tomorrow also, so you can listen to it from him. These are, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but this is the kind of questions that Gen Zers ask. So we need to be ready to answer them. Finally, there is no perfect parent, so don't worry. You will do everything. You will pray with your children. You will pray for your children. You will talk to them. And still, crazy things happen. This is the reality of our world. But so you can't think that you've done something wrong. But you've got to rest on the fact that, as we read in 2 Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience. See, Christ Jesus had immense patience with us. That's, we are called to be ambassadors of Christ to our children. We can be patient. We can be forgiving. And that's what we are called to do. No perfect parent. No perfect children. But we need to, in God's grace, do the best we can. Now, I'm happy to answer those questions or other questions. So, I think this is the point where we bring the boss back. And, you see, wow, just mention the word and he comes. It's almost like Christ.
You know? Hang on, hang on.
Okay.
So, is it question time?
Question.
Do people want a chance to write questions or are we happy just asking questions? Trav's ready to go.
I'm happy
to try it out. All right, let's go. Trav, take it away.
I don't realise I don't want kids, so if anybody wants to thank you very much for everything you should be there. I think it should be something every parent should be able to say. But my question is, how do we communicate and help others with this? Because it is a hard subject to bring up with parents who have kids of whatever age, but it is so important and it is so needed. So have you got ways that we can sort of help?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is, if you want to, I'm not trying to do the sales thing, but you can always get one of the books for them. The other thing is, if you email me, and I shouldn't really put it up there, it's just that it's a long, I do have a YouTube, my COVID YouTube channel, which has a lot of little clips on dealing with, on sex education and parenting. So if you email me, and that's my official email, that's my second name, and the year I was born, @gmail.com, or even my website links, which is even easier, links to the YouTube channel. So that might be something. Hey, you know, we had this weird old subcontinental woman who came and talked to us. You know, you should go check out these videos on her parenting section of her channel. So there's also the marriage bit about desire and love and things. So they might have fun. Very briefly, I forgot to tell you about the books. We've got Teen Sex by the Book, which is for teenagers. It's actually in its third edition now. Within 10 years, we've had three editions. And I've told her, no, before you have the next run, I need to have further editing. That's how quickly the research changes, because that's research-based. It's all reference. Growing Up by the Book, we wrote for puberty, and it's excruciatingly important now when transgender is saying puberty is expendable. If you're a girl and you don't like puberty, you don't like your boobs, no problem. Just take it out and be a boy. And you're a boy and you don't like doing boy things, but you want to do girly things like ballet and music, no problem. You're a girl. You know, puberty can be stopped. No, it can't. Come back tomorrow. And then we had the Birds and Bees, which, as I said, is 6 books. There's one open set there if you like to look at. You and Me was just published last month, and that's for preschoolers, just about the goodness of the body. Talking Sex is for parents and carers and grandparents on the how to do it. The Best Sex for Life is, for you gentlemen, a Mother's Day gift if you want, which really is about the best sex for life. And about, for those of you who are in the morning, you know what that's about. The Gender Revolution, we still have not launched. It's me with my son, who's a Presbyterian minister. And you might have heard of Reverend Rob Smith. Rob Smith is just finished his PhD on transgender. So the three of us wrote that, but they thought they'd rather have my book, my name in the front. Like, if anyone wants to give her a hard time, give her a hard time first, because she's quite used to it. And because I have so much of spare time, I do write novels, mostly set around Sri Lanka. And I have a few of those. Good Mother's Day gift if you want one. Okay, questions.
Any more questions?
Yeah, I'm always asked that. We really don't know. Part of it, I think, is just kids are getting better nutrition. You know, like you notice, you look at a family and the kids are taller than both parents. And you think, what's happening here? So it's something with nutrition. Some people say it's something to do with hormones. You know, we are using, there's so much of hormones being put into, you're the people who are in the farms. There's so much of hormones apparently. What am I telling you? Apparently there's hormones that are being fed into chooks and things, and who knows what. So we don't know what's kind of coming down into the kids. So we really don't know. But the fact is that there is a drop. And when tomorrow we'll be talking about when they start transgender, what they call affirmation, they do it at first signs of puberty. So when puberty is coming down, they are starting at like 9 years old now.
I'm not sure about asking it right now.
Any other questions?
I just had another comment.
Sure.
Just, if the individual is happening in society, like the church has a real amazing opportunity, don't you, like, our communities, so we're a family, and it's just so important to press into that, isn't it? Like, it's our little ones, you know, thinking about when we grew up, there was so much community.
Oh, yeah.
It's so different. So it's a real light in the darkness, isn't it, that we can have as a church family.
Brilliant. And also, just reminds me of something that one church, don't ask me where or who, what they did was they set up Facebook groups. They're like parents of like younger children or parents of teens, because, you know, it's nice if you can meet and talk about it, but people are time poor. So they set up closed Facebook groups to share and discuss concerns and to share resources when they find it. And they tell me it really worked. So maybe that's something that you people can set up, a parenting closed Facebook group, that you can share things and, you know, just links to things that you find, or, you know, if you have concern, you share it and get other parents saying how they dealt with that.
We understand that children are curious about their own bodies. How do we respond, like, when that, like, where's the line for that then turning into practice of masturbation, and when is that wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir, we had a question there. Is masturbation a sin? The point is that, yeah, kids are curious about their bodies. So you already acknowledge that the penis and everything is part of the body. Now, we do even talk about that in all our books, but even in Birds and Bees, because kids learn that it's nice to touch. God made the genitals feel good. Like I said earlier, why would we bother to have sex if it didn't feel good? So God made the genitals to feel good. The genitals are a special part of the body. Now, those are messages we need to give our children. They are not toys to be played with. They are not objects. Now, the moment a kid gets into porn, everything becomes objectified. So the genitals are special. Now, what about masturbation? Now, you see, when little ones are touching their genitals, don't label it as masturbation. They're not sitting there fantasizing about their preschool friends. They are basically found something that feels good, especially boys. For goodness sake, it's hanging around there. And so they touch it and it feels good, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, it's just that they're not thinking that that's masturbation. Most times it's bored, they're bored. I mean, you've left them there in front of television or something. What else? You would do that if it's not, you know, unacceptable and you've been morally constrained. Or they're just tired, and some kids find that that's self-soothing. It's self-soothing to touch yourself. So it's dealing with those issues. You know, if you find a child who's touching their genitals, then you just have to sort of firstly ask them, first check whether they've got some irritation. That could be some irritation in the genitals. So check that out. Or urine infection. Kids could be like, not have the language to tell you. So check those out. But having done that, you just talk to them about how your genitals God gives you for a very special thing, and that's making babies. It's not a toy to be played with. It's special. So talk to them about that. And then tell them, look, if you feel like it, and so we don't blame you for wanting to, because it does feel good. But when you feel like it, call me. We don't want to play with it. We'll do something else. So distract. Give them something to distract. Read a story. If still the child keeps touching the genitals, then maybe there is a time when you need to think, is there something else happening? Has somebody shown the child pornography? Has there been even sadly some kind of abusive, some experience somewhere in preschool, primary school, some other older child? So you need to explore those. And if all those, and you feel that this is getting too much to deal with, no harm in talking to a child psychologist, because some kids, especially if they're on the kind of neurodivergent spectrum, could have a compulsive behavior. And that could result in genital compulsive behavior. So don't be ashamed to ask for help. It is okay. But look, masturbation per se is not a sin. It's as the kid grows older that then, you know, sexual thoughts drive the masturbation. I know people say that, you know, they can masturbate to the wind through the gum trees or maybe through the cotton fields. But most times I don't think people masturbate to the wind through the cotton fields. But next time you walk through the cotton fields, that's what you'll be thinking, right? But more likely to be thinking sexual thoughts. But of course Jesus said if you're thinking sexual thoughts, you might as well be having sex. So the then it can become a compulsive behavior, even in an older child or in an adult, so that every stress, the masturbation can become a stress relief. And we cover that in our book. So that's the kind of thing you need to share with the children. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Patricia. I've got so many questions.
Let's start. Go.
You mentioned that our children, like we spell T-I-M-E, and at the time poor, our parents as time poor as we think we are. Or are we time wasters?
Time wasted. I often think it's time wasting.
Yeah.
Because especially you tell your children, you got to get off your social media, and then you pick up your phone.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to stop listening, watching by 9 o'clock, and then you take your computer into the bedrooms. And when I'm doing the marriage talks, I say, no computers, no laptops, no phones in the bedroom. Bedroom is for sleeping and sex. Nothing else. Right? So, we are time wasting too, and we need to make that space. Thank you. Another question. You had lots.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's keep going.
So I work out at the Christian school, and we want to work out at the Christian school. Do you have any resources for schools who are struggling with this, especially Victorian schools?
Victoria.
Victoria again.
I know that. Any resources that schools can just...
Well,
we've got the books at the school, but anything that supplement them?
Well, we did develop one first, but it got thrown out of so many schools because it was bigoted, because we dared to say that if you're same-sex attracted, you have a choice as to what you do with those attractions. And that is homophobic and transphobic. And so the books are what people are working with. Teen sex and of course I would recommend the Talking Sex by the book, which helps age-specific ways of dealing with it. I looked at Talking Sex yesterday and I thought, oh my goodness, I need to tell her that I want to update it before the next sprint. Because things change so fast, especially in the gender area, that I want to just keep everything up to date. 76, anyone want to be a sexologist and take after me? Open.
I was just going to say, like, have you made a DVD series or, like, something that, you know, churches and schools can get, because you won't always be around.
I know.
Resource. And I know your books are, but, you know.
I know. People keep telling me this. Why don't you make specific podcast? But what I say is that if I do videos even, like, it'll be nice for the next 4 years. But after that, we have to keep up to date.
Yeah.
Now, you saw those graphs. Yes, 2022. Like, I was on Twitter this morning and tweeting on, putting on Facebook. If you want to really keep up to date, ask me for a Facebook friend, because every day almost I put up articles on Facebook, that's if you're on Facebook, which are like the latest on family, on, you know, sex, on gender, on that area, porn. So unfortunately, I mean, people keep telling me this, and I say, look, that's no skin off my whatever to make them, but they won't stay relevant. So.
Patricia, I'm interested in your comment too, though. I actually think part of the reason that we go, oh my God, thank goodness Patricia exists, is because we are just not good in Christian circles at talking sex at any level.
I know.
And when one of our children make choices that we're not proud of, we hide that ourselves.
It's a shame and hide.
Rather than share it.
Shame and hiding.
Yeah, and we don't. We do not talk. We would say we've done the sex talk because Patricia's come. And that's a bit the way we do it with our kids. We've done the sex talk, so that's it. And I think we look, you know, and heaven forbid what's going to happen when you die one day, because we're so reliant.
But this is the point, you know. We need churches, and you're aware of GAFCON, right? You're Anglicans, you know about GAFCON. GAFCON, not the one that just happened at Kigali, but in Jerusalem, that was the one before. Peter Jensen, bless his heart, got me to come and speak to bishops. This is the speaking sex to like a room full of these big black men with those big crosses hanging off. And I'm like, what am I doing here? But, you know, I think the leaders have tried, like Peter Jensen has truly tried to sort of get churches involved in like, because especially now with porn and transgender, the two big elephants in the room, we have no option. And it's for us also, not just for our children. You know, and I was talking to the Matthias media that we need to make a study guide to go with gender revolution. So that churches can actually because the book is quite, it's not very dense, but it's research dense because we have to give the latest secular research to support God's word, not support, but, you know, show the congruence of secular research actually shows God's word. And so, you know, I really don't know how we do it. I mean, I solely would love to see all the churches teaching sex as your pastor does, but
well, for forwards anyway.
Yeah. You know.
But I also think it was interesting because I actually wanted to do 10 weeks on Song of Songs, and I just did a quiet survey amongst people, and the response was, ooh, "That'll be a bit hot." But then I think we need to do Song of Songs is in the Bible. We need to preach it. We need to talk about it, and it will be. Not us joking about a 76-year-old subcontinental woman who's willing to speak what we want to talk about, but we want to be able to talk about it. And we need to be able to do that. So I think we've just got to be wise about how we do it.
And also the fact that when you're talking to your children, don't hide the gritty bits also. I mean, there is rape, there is abuse in the Bible, so you've got to talk about those gritty stories too, that we are a fallen people, but we are worship a God of grace and forgiveness, but we are a fallen people. And because, you know, the world says, look at all those stories in the Old Testament about horrible stories. Yes, they are there. It shows that we are, oh, look how many wives Solomon had and David had and all of them had. Yeah, turned out great, didn't it? So that's the point. You know, we need to be fearless to teach our children this so that they have the answers too. Nita.
Have you got a bit of language to help kids navigate and think about other kids inappropriately to them or bullying, or just some language around that?
It's again, I think we talk about in Me and My Body, about in the books for birds and bees. It's basically like saying, this is your body, learn to say no. Only some people like your parents and maybe your doctor with your parent there has a right to touch. Anyone else, you say no, run away, talk to someone immediately. The same thing like porn, say no, run away. Say, this is bad, run away, talk to someone. The same kind of 3 steps. It's easy when you know, all of you have children, it's easy to teach them one little exercise. So whether it's porn or whether it's somebody, something uncomfortable, say no, run away, talk to someone. And when I speak to you, like sometimes they get me to grade 5 and 6 sometimes. Oh gosh, they're gorgeous. Pure teaching, but they have no filters. Like question time is like, why does my willy get wiggly? Like, yes, 100 children listening. It's beautiful. But I teach them, you know, that they're like, so what are you going to do? I have to say no and just give them that language. That's the best we can do.
So just quickly, again, somebody mentioned who's going to replace you.
No one. You want to?
No.
I know Monica. She's one of my students.
So I heard her speak a few months ago, and there are other few students, who are taking on this, this space.
But what did Monica speak on? She's really specific.
Yeah, well, slightly into this, but I was just concerned that there's other Christian sexologists out there.
No, what did Monica speak on?
Oh, that was 2.5 months ago. I had to look at the name on the phone. I thought really bad. I pulled it out.
Monica does, like, more in marriage. And so then I've got another one, Renee Cook. But this is the Renee Yam. The point with this is, I mean, again, we are Anglicans, right? Like Renee Yam is like, she's my, like she comes to me for like supervision and I've recommended her and she's involved with quite a few Christian schools on speaking on body image. But she's married to a Hillsong pastor. So if I try to introduce her to Anglican churches, they go like, you know, we don't know about her theology and we need to check out her theology. You know, so, I mean, both of them did the masters in sexual health with me when I was director. So they're both young ladies whom I would definitely say are good. But the problem is that nobody wants to touch gender. Nobody wants to touch gender. Because the moment you get up and speak on gender, you are open to transphobic, homophobic. And look, the reality is if the laws of Victoria come in here, we can't even have a talk on gender. Even in church. Because it will be conversion therapy. We better pray hard that, you know, we hold out.
Even at that point, because Patricia mentioned prayer. But don't run away. Remember, Patricia's also going to be back here at 7, so we want to give her time to have a bit of a break as well. Just remember, you were here, I think, 8 years ago, and you spoke at the bowling club. The change just in advertising that I've been confident doing in that time shows you the change in the attitudes in communities. Yeah. And I think we need to be aware of that, but not... Also, so fearful of Christians that we're unwilling to be public about it. And so we're just balancing those things. 7 o'clock tonight, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. How about we show our thanks to Patricia for the fireplace?
Book selling.
Dear God, thank you for your design. I thank you that your design is for your image to be restored in us. Thank you that men and women bear that. Thank you that children bear that, and thank you that in Christ that can be restored. Thank you that in him is complete fulfillment as humans who have turned from you and can come back to you. Father, thanks for our kids. Thanks for families. Thanks for the church household where there are aunties and uncles, nephews, nieces, mums and dads and children in abundance. Father, we pray for little image bearers, that they will be prepared in knowing and loving Jesus so they can go out into the world to bear your image the way you've made them. Father, give us great grace, honesty and wisdom. Give us transparency and openness with each other. Thank you for people like Patricia, whom you've gifted in particular ways at particular times. We pray that we'll continue to remember that you are constantly with us and will never neglect us as we proclaim your image and salvation in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.